Gusti nuhun, nuhun pisan tos kabalayar ayeuna.
You have just listened to Karinding Rhythm entitled Law by Stikvar and song by Karinding Attack. Karinding is usually played solo or group, which consists of 2 until 5 players. One of them is arranger of the tone or rhythm. In the past in Ciawi, Karinding was played together with takokak, or instrument which looks like leaf. Conventionally, according to Abah Olot, there are 4 types of tone in playing Karinding, namely tonggeret, kogondangan, pereogan, and iring-iringan. Karinding can be collaborated with various genres of modern music. It is one of ways of Karinding's Bandung artists to preserve traditional music.
Bisa untuk mengiringi musik apapun atau berkolaborasi dengan jenis musik apapun, gitu. Asal tune atau nada-nadanya dikompromikan. Jadi saya selama ini saya nggak senang kalau ada bilang Karinding tidak bernada. Sebenarnya bukan tidak bernada. Nenek moyang kita itu kan sendiri-sendiri.
It can accompany any kinds of music if the tones are compromised. I'm unhappy if anyone says that Karinding does not have tone. Actually, it is not tone. In the past, our ancestors made it individually and there was no agreement about the sound. So Karinding has tone, but the name of the tones is not identified. As identification of the nation, we have to preserve the traditional arts. We have to keep it. So young people must be aware that we are Sundanese who have to preserve our instrument.
Kita harus menjaga, yaitu jaga itu melestarikan. Makanya buat untuk anak-anak muda sekarang dan selanjutnya tuh harus menyadari bahwa kita ini orang Sunda, harus melestarikan alat keseniannya sendiri.
Karinding was made by the ancestors to ward off the pest in the past. Because of that, the tones in Karinding instrument did not give a name. After a long time, finally Karinding is played as instrument to entertain farmers who are waiting their land. Today, Karinding begins to be popular in modern music such as rock, blues, and pop. Well, listener, that was a glimpse of traditional instrument from West Java called Karinding.
Hello and welcome to the news on Voice of Indonesia. These are the headlines. President Prabowo Subianto has inaugurated ambassadors extraordinary and plenipotentiary and permanent representatives. Minister reveals Prabowo to establish Hajj Ministry to strengthen system. I'm Ray and this is the news in details. Indonesia's Minister of Agrarian Affairs and Special Planning Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono inaugurates the Merah Putih Village Cooperatives in Madiun City. The inauguration as a strategic step carried out by the government to strengthen the people's economy through micro, small and medium enterprises and cooperatives. Rizka Fadila has the details.
Indonesia Minister of Agrarian Affairs and Special Planning or National Land Agency Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono state that the Merah Putih Cooperative is capable of driving local economic progress. While attending the inauguration of Red and White Cooperative in Madiun, East Java, Minister Agus Harimurti through his personal social media account recently explained that the village and urban cooperatives are a strategic program and a priority agenda of President Prabowo Subianto. According to him, the main goal of the program is to boost the economy of communities throughout Indonesia.
Merah Putih Cooperative is one of strategic programs and one of President Prabowo Subianto's priority agendas. The goal is clear: to boost the economy of the people in various regions, in all villages, in all urban villages.
This program is expected to improve people welfare by strengthening micro, small, and medium enterprise or UMKM. In addition, the cooperative also showcased the local enterprises' products, which are considered as the center of national economy. Agus also emphasized that the success of cooperatives is inseparable from collaboration with the enterprises and the Free Nutritious Food Kitchen Program or MBG.
Also, many displays of micro, small, and medium enterprises products. The most important thing for our micro, small, and medium enterprises is that they can be said to be the lifeblood of the national economy.
Koperasi Merah Putih is a modern and inclusive cooperative platform initiated by the Indonesian government to empower the economies of communities in villages and urban villages. By having regulatory, infrastructural, and capital support, the cooperative is expected to become a hub for economic activity, distribution of essential goods, healthcare services, and strengthening local SMEs. Rizka Fadila reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government holds Merdeka Run 2025 Marathon in Jakarta recently. The event is not only about celebration of the 80th anniversary of Indonesia, but also a call for public to stay healthy through running. Ofra has the details.
Jadi jangan lupa ya, hidup sehat-sehat selalu, olahraga, lari murah.
The festive atmosphere of the Merdeka Run 2025 Marathon began as the starting flag was raised in front of the State Palace Jakarta on Sunday. The event served as a platform for the Indonesian government to promote a healthy lifestyle as well as commemorate the 80th anniversary of the Republic of Indonesia. Indonesia's Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin, who joined the Merdeka Run 2025, conveyed that the running is a simple exercise with major benefits for body.
Running is the cheapest sport and makes you healthy. Friends, don't forget we must remind each other to exercise at least 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week for life. That will keep blood pressure, blood sugar, and cholesterol normal. God willing, we won't get stroke or heart disease.
Moreover, a similar view was expressed by State Secretary Prasetyo Yuhadi. He underlined that running is not only for personal fitness, but also reflects a joint spirit of building the nation together.
We are commemorating from the perspective of sports. This morning, we ran 8 kilometers and 4.5 kilometers because we want to be healthy, to build Indonesia, to bring progress and health to the people. Everyone must be healthy.
Besides, the event also recorded that around 8,000 participants joined the Merdeka Run 2025 Marathon. Several ministers and deputy minister of the Merah Putih Cabinet also participated in the 8-kilometer and 4.5-kilometer categories. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
President of Republic of Indonesia, Prabowo Subianto, has inaugurated ambassadors, extraordinary and plenipotentiary and permanent representatives. Hasna Nur Afifa has the details.
President Prabowo Subianto has installed 8 ambassadors, extraordinary and plenipotentiary, and permanent representatives to international organizations at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday. At the inauguration ceremony, the president also read the oath that was repeated by the newly appointed officials before they signed the official documents.
Demi Allah, saya bersumpah.
Bahwa saya.
In the name of God, I solemnly swear that in my appointment as ambassador extraordinary and plenipotentiary I will remain faithful to the Constitution of the Republic of Indonesia of 1945 and will implement all laws and regulations to the best of my ability in devotion to the nation and the state.
The newly appointed ambassadors include Toferi Primanda Sutikno to Mexico, El Salvador, and Guatemala, Indrayana Susilo to the United States, Andika Krishna Yudanto to Brazil, Abdul Kadir Jailani to Germany, Judah Nugraha to the United Arab Emirates, and Imam As'ari to Ecuador. Meanwhile, Umar Hadi has been assigned as Indonesia's permanent representative to the United Nations in New York, and Siddhartha Reza Suryadipuro as the permanent representative to the World Trade Organization and international organizations in Geneva. Hasnanur Afifah, Voice of Indonesia.
Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka has responded to a proposal for smoking-designated train carriages. In his statement, Gibran stressed that public transportation must remain a smoke-free zone under existing regulation. Ofra has the details.
Sudah ada SE, sudah ada undang-undangnya.
Indonesian Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka addressed a proposal from a member of the Indonesian House of Representatives regarding the provisions of smoking-designated train carriages. His response came after traveling on the Adi Sumarmo International Airport train number 573B on the Karuban Adi Sumarmo route from Palur Station to Solo Balapan Station on Sunday. The Vice President emphasized that public transportation facilities should follow priority needs, including strict rules on the smoke-free zone.
Dan sudah ada SE, sudah ada undang-undang.
There are already circular letter regulations and laws that clearly state public transportation is a smoke-free area.
Itu adalah kawasan bebas rokok.
Moreover, the Vice President further underlined that transportation policies must align with President Prabowo Subianto's vision in the health sector. He highlighted that priority programs such as free health checkups, stunting preventions, and hospital development should remain the main focus, including in the revitalization of railway facilities. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
You are listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. The 2025 ASEAN Schools Basketball Championship 2025 has been officially opened at the Solo Paragon Hotel and Residence. The event aims at building international friendship. Raditya has the details.
The 2025 Asian School Basketball Championship, or ASBC 2025, was officially opened on Sunday, August 24, 2025, in Solo, Central Java. Seven Asian countries are competing in this championship by sending both male and female teams. Deputy for Sports Culture in the Ministry of Youth and Sports, Sri Wahyuni, explained that the tournament carries three objectives: enhancing sports performance, promoting community fitness, and discovering young athletic talent. She also encouraged students to use ASBC 2025 as a platform to build international friendship that will leave a positive impact for the city of Solo.
Dan tentunya, Bapak dan Ibu sekalian, teman-teman, khususnya delegasi dari Indonesia, kalau sudah tidak bermain, coba.
And of course, ladies and gentlemen, especially the delegates from Indonesia, if you're not playing, try to chat with the delegates from other six countries. They'll definitely be playing in Solo and then posting about it on social media. Once they post about it, their friends in their countries will feel fear of missing out, and then they will come to Solo too. So the event like this is not just about sport; it's also help us advance our regional economy. That's the hope.
Event seperti ini tidak hanya sebatas olahraga, tapi juga kita memajukan perekonomian daerah kita. Itu harapannya.
Meanwhile, Surakarta's Mayor Respati Ahmad Ardianto stressed the championship role to shape the younger generation through sportsmanship, teamwork, and perseverance. He conveyed that the ASBC 2025 also strengthened Surakarta's image as a friendly, open, and culturally rich sports city.
This championship is very important not only as a basketball competition for students from Asia, but also a platform to develop the character of the younger generation through the sportsmanship, teamwork, and perseverance. Through this event, we hope to foster talent young athletes who will one day bring pride to their nation on the international stage. Furthermore, this championship will also benefit Surakarta by promoting its as a friendly, open, and culturally rich city of sports.
Besides, the opening ceremony was held in a warm atmosphere, featuring a banquet, a traditional dance, a singing of Indonesia's national anthem, and a parade of athletes. They are able to mutually introduce and interact with one another across Asian countries. Raditya reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia-Japan payment connectivity is upgrading through cross-border QR, while rupiah-yen transactions are being expanded to reduce cost and exchange rate risks. Isan Syaputra has the details.
Indonesia and Japan strengthen cross-border payment connectivity. Both countries also expand the rupiah-yen local currency transaction scheme. Indonesia Central Bank Governor Perry Warjio at the Indonesia-Japan LCTN cross-border QR payment linkage high-level campaign in Jakarta explained that the initiative is part of an effort to facilitate trade, tourism, and investment transactions between the two countries.
Today, Bank Indonesia and Japan Minister of Finance agreed to expand further local currency transaction, which is Indonesia and Japan local currency transaction already number two after China. The size up to July this year, $5.1 billion.
The expansion of LCT, which allows direct rupiah-yen transactions without conversion to US dollars, complements cross-border QR payment connectivity, simplifying shopping and paying for services with a QR code scan. This scheme is expected to reduce costs, mitigate exchange rate risks, and expand market access for micro, small, and medium enterprises.
I hope that the newly available financial settlement services will enable more active movement of people and goods between Japan and Indonesia, realizing a future in which both countries grow together. The Japanese government also intends to continue vigorously promoting economic and financial cooperation with Indonesia.
With the combinations of LCT and cross-border QR payments, Indonesia and Japan target for a more inclusive, efficient, and mutually reinforcing transaction ecosystem for both business and tourists. Isan Syaputra reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
President Prabowo Subianto is pushing for the establishment of a Ministry of Hajj and Umrah through amendments to the law on the implementation of Hajj and Umrah. The statement was delivered by Minister of Law and Human Rights Supratman Andi Agtas at the Parliamentary Complex in Jakarta on Monday. He said the amendment aims to strengthen the Hajj management system to better align with the dynamics and needs of pilgrims. Supratman further explained that the amendment does not change the essence of Hajj and Umrah management that has been in place, but rather seeks to improve mechanism, accountability, and transparency. The draft law also regulates adjustments to Hajj cost components, the distribution adjustment to regular and special Hajj quotas, as well as mechanisms for monitoring, evaluations, and supervision. The draft law was approved at the representatives on Monday. Based on the schedule, it will then be brought by the House plenary session on Tuesday. Listener, it concludes today's news bulletin from Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world. Boy listener, Indonesia is one of the most disaster-prone countries in the world.
Earthquakes, floods, and landslides often threatens the life of the communities. In the context, safe and disaster resilient housing is not only essential as a place to live, but also as a vital shield to protect families. But how does the government view the importance of disaster resilient housing for the people? What efforts are being made to promote the construction of strong, safe, and affordable homes? And what are the standards for disaster resilient building, and how can these be effectively communicated to the public? And to discuss this further, we are joined by Pak Andre Noto Hamijoyo, Assistant Deputy for Disaster Risk Reduction at the Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Cultural Affairs. How are you, Pa?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good afternoon for all of the Voice of Indonesia listeners.
Okay, so, but without any further ado, I would like to ask you about how Indonesia is a disaster-prone country, as we know. How does the government view the importance of disaster-resilient housing, especially for the communities?
Yes, thank you for this opportunity. Indonesia, as a disaster-prone country, has for the potentials for the disaster risk, and we should prepare for all of the disaster risks in Indonesia. We view the disaster resilience housing as the crucial for saving lives, reducing poverty, property limits, supporting sustainable development, and accelerating for the post-disaster recovery. And the government supports this through special planning policies in disaster-prone areas, implementing for the Indonesian National Standard Construction Standards, and further providing development incentives, public awareness campaigns, and building and providing sturdy and safe permanent housing, including for the innovations such as the land banks. And why it is important for the government? The first is the life safety. We should prepare for the building's disaster resilience housing as the key preventive measure to minimize loss of life during disasters such as earthquakes. And the second is reducing property damage, minimizing physical damage to buildings and property, which indirectly reduces repair and recovery costs. And the third, supporting sustainable development. How to build disaster resilient housing aligns with the concept of sustainable development, which is more resilience to the impacts of disasters. And the third, fourth is the accelerating post-disaster recovery. Communities with stronger housing tends to recover more quickly after disasters. And of course, for the actions and policies, how the regulation standards, how about the incentives, educations and campaigns. This is related to the programs, how to build for the disaster risk resilience for the all of the people in Indonesia, and how to conduct education awareness campaigns to inform the public about the importance of disaster resistance houses, and how to they can participate in government programs. And of course, for the permanent housing development and also the land innovation and management.
Okay, so how is the government encouraging the development of public resilient housing among the public itself?
Yeah, the government encourages for the development of disaster resistance housing through various policies and programs, such as the providing financial incentives for subsidies or low interest loans, establishing strict construction regulations and standards, providing technical assistance, of course, yeah, and training, and her campaigns to raise public awareness of the importance of disaster-resistant housings. Because, you know, now we still face for the lack of cultural, for the culture, for the disaster risk, and we should raise the public awareness of importance of the disaster-resistant housings. In addition, the government maps disaster-prone areas should be understood by all the peoples. Then implements for the land bank concept for land allocations and collaborates with various stakeholders such as business and banks to accelerate post-disaster housing development. And we should define for the policies and regulations for the construction standard, disaster hazards maps, and land banks, and of course for the financial incentives and technical supports and education and training, and it is about the professional educations for the implementing for the education and training programs for the engineers or the contractors or the architects on the latest techniques and material in earthquake resistance constructions, for the awareness campaigns, of course, how to conduct public education campaigns to raise awareness for the importance of disaster resistance housing, and how to participate in government programs. And of course, the collaboration and participations, multi-stakeholder participations, how to gathering the participation from various parties, such as the local government, the private sectors, how to support post-disaster housing reconstructions, and of course for the role of community organizations, such as for the encouraging community to collaborate with the regional disaster management agencies such as BDBD in disaster preparedness activities, including funding and implementations. Of course, we should talking about the sustainable approach, of course. Thank you.
Okay. So the next question is, I would like to ask, how is the government promoting public awareness and education on the importance of disaster resilient housing? Because that is actually one of the most interesting thing to know, especially for the citizens around Indonesia.
Yeah. The government promotes awareness of disaster resilience housings through community-based initiatives, educational partnerships, of course, recent communications, public awareness campaigns, and integrating risk-based planning into national strategies. Often supported by the organizations, of course, from the regulations such as the National Disaster Management Agency or BNPB. It is how we integrate risk-based planning into national strategies. And the key strategies include sharing information of disaster risk, developing community-specific preparedness plans, training local disaster management teams, and encouraging participation in simulations. It should divide it into, first, how to the risk-based planning and knowledge sharing. It is very important for us, disseminating risk information. The governance thrives to ensure communities understand the specific disaster risks they face, such as earthquakes or floods, mostly from the hydrometeorologic disasters, enabling the people to take appropriate safety measures. And the next is to integrating resilience into national plans. National strategies incorporate resilience planning, which involves developing institutional capacity and using funds to support disaster risk reduction and management. And the second steps is the community engagement and capacity building. Yeah, we know that the disaster resilient village programs from the initiatives such as disaster resilience village programs in Indonesia, and to build resilience at the village level, and how to improve preparedness and response capabilities, and participatory approach, of course, for the involving communities in developing and implementing their own preparedness and recovery plans, fosters greater commitments and builds cultures of resilience. And next is the training and education. These programs contents for the trained community members and local volunteers, such as those in the Indonesia, Tagana. Tagana programs in Indonesia under the social ministry, how to become disaster preparedness and response for all of the stakeholders. And we should strengthening for the partnerships and educational materials, of course, but how the government partners with educational institutions to integrate disaster risk reduction education into the school curriculum and create relevant educational materials. For the youth mobilizations, of course, engaging youth groups and maybe in the peer educations to help disseminate awareness and preparedness message to a wider audience. For the public awareness campaign and community, of course, how to launch for the national campaign to raise awareness about disaster risk and promote safety measures, and how to promote housing specific measures. Public awareness campaigns inform residents about housing specific safety measures, such as structural considerations for building in earthquake prone areas. We know the examples from the disasters, the earthquake disasters in the West Java, we should learn about that. The public awareness campaign should strengthen. The people must understand about how to build back better in after the earthquake. We see in the West Java. And it is very important. We see the example in Cianjur. Cianjur in 2022 and 2023, it is the most challenges how to raise awareness about disaster risk and promote safety measures, and how public awareness is very important about housing specific safety measures.
Thank you so much, Pa Andre, for your time and answers for all of the citizens and people of Indonesia on finding the best and the most practical housing, especially for Indonesia. And thank you so much for a listener for accompanying me in this special interview. And stay tuned with us for more amazing interviews like this only on Voice of Indonesia, where you can tune in through our online streaming voinews.id, shortwave in 3325 kHz, 4755 kHz, and our application on RRE Digital. Stay tuned with us always in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you very much, Voice of Indonesia, for RRE, and all of the listeners. Thank you very much.
pandemi. Terlalu lama bercanda, kita tak terbiasa dengan celaka yang nyata. Biar tak berdaya, namun aku bingung kenapa aku tak pergi. Aku bingung kalian masih di sini. Apa mungkin karena
untuk percaya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dan ayat-ayat yang kau baca tak kurasa berbeda. Kita bebas untuk percaya sempurna yang kau puja. Dan ayat-ayat yang kau baca tak kurasa berbeda. Kita bebas untuk percaya sempurna yang kau puja. Dan ayat-ayat yang kau baca tak kurasa berbeda. Kita bebas untuk percaya.
Mungkin kisah tentang kita telah usai. Segala lembaran indah cinta dahulu sirna. Semua yang terjadi biarlah sudah. Meski hati ini menunggumu di sini untuk secerca harapan yang tak pernah bisa tanpamu. Aku takut kehilanganmu. Aku takut kau takkan kembali. Tak sempurna hidupku tanpamu. Just
sesuatu yang selalu ada seringkali tiada makna. Sesuatu yang tersembunyi bukan selalu tanpa arti. Hari-hari berlalu, saat-saat yang berarti. Kesempatan di depanmu takkan terulang kembali. Kemana arah yang benar dalam hidup ini? Kadangkala kita semua berhenti di persimpangan jalan. Jangan salah langkah teman, pikirkan dulu. Jangan salah langkah teman sebelum kau maju. Jangan salah langkah teman, pikirkan dulu. Jangan salah langkah teman sebelum kau maju. Oh, oh, kau maju. Sebelum kau maju, oh 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 oh. Jangan salah langkah, jangan salah langkah. Sebelum kau maju, jangan salah ke teman.
Voice of Indonesia.
Terbenam di ufuk barat, di saat itulah dingin rindu selimuti keindahan senyuman dari lesung pipi itu. Menikmati imaji bersamamu, maka terimalah diriku. Kita akan bahagia selamanya. Ku berjanji jadi suamimu, dan ku akan memberikan yang terbaik untukmu. Sadar diriku tak seindah lagu indie yang selalu kau dengar meracuni telingamu. Ku pastikan ini bukan tentang saja dan lara sahaja mewarnai duniaku. Maka bahagia
of Indonesia.
Hari sudah ku rindu, tak bisa ku menghubungimu. Kau sedang dengan dirinya, sedang kita rahasia. Kapankah kau ada waktu sembunyi untuk bertemu? Baru kau sapa ku tersipu. Kau puji lupa amarahku, karena kau paling tahu cara lemahkan hatiku. Walau tak ada yang pasti, yang kau beri hanya mimpi. Lantas mengapa ku masih menaruh hati, padahal ku tahu kau telah terikat janji. Keliru atau kau bukan tak tahu, lupakanmu tapi aku tak mau.